Uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka.
I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis.
And I am the sidekick, Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in to us. We started this about a month ago, just kind of messing around. We figured we'd start a podcast just discussing different things that's going on around in, I guess, pop culture. You know, something that's been fun to us to talk about over the years. Our little pilot that we did was over video games.
Yes.
And that was a good topic. I think that show came out really good. And I got some really good feedback on that show.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah. No, right?
It's a shocker.
Who'd have thunk, right?
Yeah, right. Really.
Yeah. But, you know, when we did that show, we didn't know
what the hell we were doing,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. We even called ourselves Pop Goes the Culture. And
because we liked the title and we figured no one else was smart enough to take it.
It's too good, so it can't be taken, right?
Of course. Yeah. Knowing our luck.
I'm not going to say that was your idea. Yeah, it was your responsibility to check for that. But anyway, we're not called Pop Goes the Culture anymore.
So what are we this week?
This week, we're going to be Pop Culture Rewind.
All right. We'll see how long that sticks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope it sticks a little bit longer because actually we're in this thing now. So.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to see more of that, you can actually catch us. Now we actually have our Facebook page.
Ah.
Facebook.com/PopCultureRewind. And we also have our Twitter account.
Where is that?
That is at Twitter. And you can follow us at
Pop Culture RWND for Pop Culture Rewind.
Very good, Chris. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. That was a hard one to come up with. I'm kind of new to the whole Twitter thing. That was kind of hard to come up with a handle for that because
it was too long, right?
By two letters.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. So we took out the...
It would defeat the purpose if we took out the at, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Pop Culture RW... Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also catch us on iTunes. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Do us a favor. Just click on the subscribe button, you know, so we'll, you know, anytime we decide to do an episode, you'll get it.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions or anything, if you want to contact me or Chris, you can reach us out in any of those outlets, or you can also reach us through our email. We have popculturerewind@gmail.com.
Very nice.
Yeah. So in case you didn't catch the theme there, Pop Culture Rewind is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So, that being said, thanks again for tuning in, and hopefully we'll keep you entertained for just a little bit.
And if we fail, try again next episode.
Yeah. So, that being said, let's talk about what's been going on lately. So, what did we do this past week?
Woo! Yeah. I've been wanting to hang out with my nephews for a while, my Wreckers, my Smash Brothers, my nephews Aaron and Johnny.
Yeah,
I promised that I was going to take them to the movies. I took advantage of having them on my hands. So between the three of us and my girlfriend Lisa, we went and did a double feature.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so first, we wound up doing Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D.
Nice.
We saw it in 2D, and I figured, wow, I would have loved to see how this came out in 3D. And the theater over here by your place, it's dirt cheap during the day. So I wound up... wound up going to watch it. They had a blast. It was awesome. They loved it. Stuffed our faces, and then after that, we saw a second movie. We saw the new Ninja Turtles.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
You shouldn't be. You know, I'm going to take this moment to vent.
No. Oh, here we go. Oh, vent. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to vent.
Okay.
And it's really nothing to do about the movie.
Oh.
You
can't vent then.
I read every single negative review I could somehow end up with getting my hands on, because that's all it was. I heard nothing but negative reviews the entire week building up to this movie that almost made me not want to go watch it. And then I went and saw it, and I actually thought it was really good for what it was.
For what it was.
And let me explain why I say that. Critics that bashed the movie, bashed everything about the movie, miss one very glaring part at the beginning of the movie.
And what's that?
It's Nickelodeon Films. So all these 25, 35, 45, 55-year-old assholes that think just because they have a pen and paper and sit behind a keyboard, think they have the power
What, I'm an asshole now?
No, you're behind a mic.
Oh, okay.
So you're different.
You said pen and paper. Yeah, you're, I do have a keyboard right over there.
Your penis. Okay.
thank you, sir.
They
continue.
They think it's directed to them.
Right.
When it's not.
Right.
You can't look at a movie like the next SpongeBob movie that's coming out next year that I'm also dying to see after the trailer. I can't expect an Oscar-nominated Heath Ledger movie out of that. It's not geared for me. It's geared for kids.
Heath Ledger, really?
Okay. Yeah. Every kid that was in there, they were enjoying it from start to finish. The story wasn't that confusing. Megan Fox actually, this was out of the movies I've seen her in. All the movies I've seen her in involve Michael Bay.
Right.
Out of the two Transformers movies and this one, this is the not only the least annoying of her,
mm-hmm.
she's actually okay. Which is hard for me to say because the first two.
You did pause for a second to say that. Yeah.
So yeah, the movie's not geared toward us. It's geared to kids. If anything, the reason we're all fans of it, we're all wear the merch just like we're all old big kids, is for us to show the little guys, hey, it's okay for you to like this. I liked it when I was younger. And I hope you like it now in your age.
Right.
Because, you know, just like we might not understand all the jokes that are in this new movie, if we got our kids or our little nephews and nieces and sat them down and watched Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze, our movie from back in the day, they're not going to understand half of the shit that's going on there either because it's not geared to them.
Yeah, I gotta say something about that. Have you gone back and watched the original trilogy?
I have the original trilogy on my iTunes. The third one, I still barely make it to the end.
You can't watch it. The first Ninja Turtle movie, that still holds up.
It does, yeah.
The soundtrack, the music, the lines, everything. Everything works perfectly in that movie. The second one, I did not realize, watching that as an adult, how bad that movie actually is.
Whew. I think they tried a little too hard.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, they knew their pop. They were over the in pop culture in 91 and in 92.
Yeah.
They were up. I mean, that's where they were at. I mean, they had all the license, all the pushing. You know, they had, you know, Pizza Hut. They were on top. So that movie was just a big love letter, I guess, to 92 and where the Ninja Turtles were at that time. Vanilla Ice and the Ninja Rap and all that stuff. And if you try to watch it again and try to explain it to somebody now, you can't.
The kids aren't going to get
you
it.
You can't. Even me watching it as an adult, it's hard for me to justify that. Yeah. But being in the moment back then,
it was the shit.
Yeah, you can't. you can't explain it. It was just, you had to be there.
And it's hard for me to, like, from an outsider looking in, trying to put two and two together when Guardians is, like, a relatively unknown, for the most part, to the mass audience.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're making, they've already beaten Transformers in the first 10 days.
Yeah.
As opposed to this stock of Ninja Turtles that everyone knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Like 90% of the people in the theater that I went to watch either had green on or had Ninja Turtles on, and that wasn't just kids. The parents, too.
Yeah.
Why they couldn't do as much as the stuff that's gone on right now. Transformers 4, Gangbusters, old school.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel Comics, some old school stuff. They generated money. And I think that all goes back to how many negative reviews everybody was crapping on it, thinking it was a movie for an adult. Like, all the Marvel stuff that's come out so far, that's geared for adults, for the most part.
For the most part,
the storytelling and some of the obscure people that they've been bringing out as villains in some of these movies, that's true adults. Dark Knight Trilogy?
Yeah. Adults.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know? Ninja Turtles? It's always going to be kids' stuff.
Right. Well, and just the name by itself.
Yeah, and it didn't make it, especially with all my friends on my Facebook and my Twitter saying, wow, this was surprisingly better than I thought. Oh, wow, I'm glad I didn't hear the critics. Oh, my God, Megan Fox was tolerable. Like, this wasn't for us.
Right.
And it just sucks that critics now have that kind of ability to just sink a movie before it even goes in the water.
I think this is going to be something where I'm going to fall back to what I said about the Transformer franchise, you know, Michael Bay's movies. As much as I can't stand them, I'm glad that this generation has Transformers.
Yeah.
It is cool to go out and still see relevancy of something that I liked as a kid. Still seeing kids like the same thing that I liked when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of hoping that as bad as we're bashing it, and I've been vocal about it, I can't get past the designs. If I watch the movie, I'm gonna have to like just put that in the back of my head. Okay, that's the designs they're going with. I can't get over that. I mean, I can't look I have to get over it, yeah. pretty much. But once I get past that, you know, maybe we'll talk then. Yeah. But as long as it's a success and more kids are able to enjoy it, hey, who are we, you know?
It's better to keep the legend around.
It's more sentimental. I think people just get touchy about it. Same thing with what happened to Transformers. I mean, it's such a sentimental thing, you know, for our childhood, you know?
Yeah.
And as long as it keeps the franchise going and you see kids liking what we liked when we were kids, that's all that matters, I think, in the long run. Of course, if you ask Hollywood, it would be about the money also.
For me, having my nephews there sitting next to me, and like 15 minutes in, my oldest nephew, Johnny, is like, hey, is the Krang in this? Where's the Krang? I was like, for him to say stuff like that, it kind of bridges, like, it just brings us brings the gap closer together between old folks like us and the young ones like them.
Right.
You know, and at the end of the day, I mean, you can't argue with that, dude.
And it's nothing against Dennis Charles in general. Like, I've been a fan ever since I was a kid. Even the new Nickelodeon cartoon that's been out for a couple years.
I love it.
That is
genius. You don't have to be an 8-year-old to enjoy it. There's enough for the 8-year-old to enjoy, but they throw bones at the old timers.
Definitely.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, I've got that. I got that on my DVR, and that come, you know, whenever that comes on, I got that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they do a lot of homages to the original cartoon in the comics. You know, they had the comic freeze frames at the end, even the intro, the little final pose that they do. That's an homage to the old comics. You know, the theme song is. Hello, remix from the cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
There was even, I think, on the season finale, they did, like, they were in, like, different dimensions.
Yeah.
And they showed, like, them from the...
From the 80s?
Yeah, from the cartoon. They even brought back the old voice actors to do a couple of the scenes. Yeah. So, that was, you know... One of my friends, just, I don't think he cared too much for it. He said they were trying too hard to be meta. But but still, hey, it's a fun little... A fun little nod to, hey, yeah, we've been around for a while.
You want to talk about throwback? There was something that you and I got to do together last week.
Yes, my friend. Oh, Lord Jesus. You want to say it?
Go for it, man. You do it.
All right. We both, about a month ago, bought tickets for a limited screening for Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods. And I got to say, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I'm glad we went.
I'm glad I drug you out.
No, I know. Once we've talked about it for a while.
Yeah, you were thinking about it.
Yeah,
it's not easy to get you out of this house of yours.
Yeah,
it's a studio.
It's expensive out there. But I'm glad I went. You know, we've been Dragon Ball Z fans for
quite some time.
Yeah. When I think it went mainstream, early 2000. 99, 2000, somewhere. And that's when they brought it over originally with the original voice actors and everything before Funimation got it.
Yeah.
Then Funimation took over and then they went, you know, everywhere
balls
with it.
Wall, yeah.
But I have still in my display room over there, I do have a shelf just of Dragon Ball Z toys.
Wow.
You've seen them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I've seen everything you've got in that room.
Yeah. But... Watching that, you know, they've done Dragon Ball Z movies, you know, in between the seasons, you know, things like that. And they're always usually standalone movies to kind of tie in for what's going on in that season, whatever.
Yeah.
But a standalone story, you know. And this one was...
14 years out of the timeline,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It was supposed to fall in the cut between DBZ and somewhere before GT, I think.
Yeah. Well, because the creator, he had nothing to do with GT.
Yeah.
So anything that's going to be coming out in Dragon Ball Z, that's Dragon Ball Z. It has nothing to do with GT. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Dragon Ball Z, what we're talking about, you know, it was just a very popular anime series. It started off as a Japanese comic back in the day, and then they made a cartoon over it. But it was originally Dragon Ball.
The lead hero is a child.
Yeah, alien child.
Alien child.
Yeah, with a tail.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long series, which... covered a lot of groundwork for
in
the
itself,
future. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then from there, it went to Dragon Ball Z, which takes the child star Goku.
All grown up.
He's got a wife. You know, they have a son. That went for several seasons.
Yeah.
There was 291 episodes, I think.
Yeah.
I have them on VHS. 17 cassettes.
Wow.
Of Dragon Ball Z episodes.
I used to collect when they first started coming out, the DVDs, when Funimation released them, like season one was pretty much the whole Vegeta thing, and it was like six DVDs to the box set, and it was like 45 episodes. I was like, oh my god, can I make it to 10 or 11 or wherever it ended up?
And so that Dragon Ball Z ended, and then from there, there was another series after that called Dragon Ball GT. And GT
was pretty much trying to milk the cash cow dry after Dragon Ball Z.
After the creator, he said, I'm done. I don't have any more story to tell. This is my saga, and I'm done with it. And, well, you know, Hollywood, or not Hollywood, but, you know, any corporation who can make money off of intellectual property, they're going to say no.
We tell you when
Exactly. So I tried to get through GT. I never did. What it did, it brought Goku back down to a child size again. He was still an adult, but he was a child.
Yeah.
And it was, they did some interesting things here and there, but there was too many, like, bringing back people that, spoiler alert, didn't make it through the end of Dragon Ball Z. And it was just, too much. But getting back to the point, this movie, it was fun. It was a lot of nods. You know, they try to throw in every character that, because they're doing a big party.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away because the DVD's not out yet, I don't think. Not the Americanized.
Is it technically giving it away? This movie's been out in Japan since last year.
That's true.
So
I tried watching
a dub, the original,
an unofficial subtitle version of it, and I couldn't get past it. It was just the subtitling, it wasn't working right, so I couldn't watch it. But this was, first of all, this is the first time we watched, for me, to watch a Dragon Ball Z movie in a theater with a crowd, and let me tell you, sell out crowd, and that right there was just fun to see. You know, a sellout crowd for Dragon Ball Z 14 years after the series had ended.
Mostly adults. And they added a second showing for 9 o'clock because that showing that night had sold out and the line was just as long.
When we walked out.
When we walked out, it was just as long as it was because I was at the tail end of the line when I got there. So I know when it was, how long that shit was. And it was another sellout. And I'm pretty sure all the other places like Alamo and Studio Movie Grill and the other AMCs, they were sold out too.
I'm glad. It was fun. It was, I think I mentioned this to you, but while we were watching this movie, I realized, maybe a good 15, 20 minutes into it, it's been 14 years since I've watched Dragon Ball Z, and I don't remember half these characters' names.
Yeah, I had to remind you a few of them.
Yeah. Well, did you remember all the names?
Not all of them.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
We filled each other's blanks.
Yeah.
Baby.
I remember the faces. You flatter me, sir. I remember the faces, but I couldn't remember the names. So, but anyway, it was fun, and
they captured pretty much the essence of the Dragon Ball Z storyline in general. Goku being Goku, Vegeta being the badass, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to spoil it, but there is one scene in that movie where I said to myself, "This is why I like watching this."
Yeah.
Because they get it right, and then they get it right, and then they press their luck and push it further to get it even more right. And oh my god, it was flawless. When that moment happened, I said, you know what? I'm going to buy this fucker when it comes out.
Yeah.
After I stopped collecting the DVDs and sold them to friends and just gave up on it, I'm in. The only drawback I don't like is that Funimation doesn't sell their product digitally. Like, I can't go to iTunes or Amazon Prime and download their episodes and just have them on my phone.
They're old school.
I wish they would sign whatever contract it needs to be done for them to do it.
Which is weird because a lot of their fan base, I would think, isn't that...
is going digital now, you know? Because, like, Funimation, they've got, off the top of my head, Dragon Ball Z. Especially the new, the four-part Evangelion movies that have been coming out.
Oh, they're doing that? Okay.
Yeah, that's Funimation, too, and I can't get my hands on that either digitally.
I think they're distributing Attack on Titan, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big hit right there.
Yeah.
Man, that came out on Netflix. And without even hearing about it, I just saw the description on Netflix, and it just the description of it was good. It had a, like, high rating on it and everything. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know. And whew, yeah, that was an intense series right there. But nothing really got accomplished on that. It was basically left open for next season, and I think they're going to do another season. They're going to do two live action movies,
nice.
All kinds of different stuff for that, but. Did you see, I don't know if you saw, there was a live action, I think it was a Mitsubishi or Suzuki commercial. They're driving around and the big old Titans are coming out and attacking them.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's weird. But it's interesting. So, but anyway, we did that on, that was last week we did that, and that was fun. But if it comes out on Blu-ray, go check it out. Dragon Ball Z, Battle of the Gods. Especially for any Dragon Ball Z fan. I shouldn't even have to tell you that.
Yeah, if you've been at any point in the series of Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z, if you're a fan of the series, it is a very wise investment to at least get your hands on it and rent it, watch it, buy it, and then resell it. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Watch it. It'll do you good.
Okay. Besides that, we both, you mentioned this earlier, you watched a movie. Yeah, you watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Twice,
yeah.
I actually went out and saw it in 3D. And I gotta say, this movie, it's got strong legs to stand on its own. Take it out of the whole Marvel Universe. It's its own sci-fi epic.
I compared it to a couple of friends of mine that this would be the Star Wars of our generation.
It could be.
You know, episode 4 was like a lot of people weren't really into it, but by episode 5, well, for anyone that doesn't know, the Star Wars story, when it was released in theaters, it started with chapter 4.
Right.
And so by the time chapter 5 came out, everybody was on it.
Technically, technically, the original release was just Star Wars.
Yeah.
Then when the movie came out, when episode 5 came out, when it started coming out, re-releasing on like VHS, things like that, then it was episode 4, A New Hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, 4, 5, and 6 was the original. You know, well, okay.
Whatever.
We digress. Yeah.
This has the merit to do it on its own. Admittedly so, I don't know if it would have been as good if it wasn't with Marvel's tag on it. You know, it wouldn't have, a lot of people wouldn't have gone to see it.
You think
so? I think people gave it the benefit of the doubt because the last couple of years, what's Marvel done? Of the last like blockbuster,
well,
was Avengers.
Yeah.
So after Avengers was so good, a lot of people went to see Captain America 2.
Well, besides
a lot
of
people saw Thor 2, and then this one was next on the timeline. So it's like, okay, Avengers was this good, Cap was this good, Thor was this good.
We'll give them a benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Avengers was a good ensemble movie for obvious reasons. That's its own thing. But this is another ensemble movie for Marvel, which, like you said, not a lot of people know the characters. Mm-hmm. And even for me, I'll be honest, I'm not that versed in the cosmic characters for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I know of the characters, but I've never been invested along with a lot of the storylines.
Yeah.
There was a storyline that kind of, I want to say, maybe rebooted re-energized the cosmic storyline of the characters like Silver Surfer and Thanos and all them. Mm. That was with the Annihilation storyline. That was a big crossover that kind of brought back it reevaluated like all the characters. Nova became a big star out of that, and that's when they reintroduced Guardians of the Galaxy and all that. Because okay. Guardians of the Galaxy for me was just an oddball team from early 90s that nobody really gave a shit about.
Yeah.
they were from the 33rd century.
Yeah.
Yeah, time travel, you know, and I never really got into it. And that's why when I first heard Guardians of the Galaxy, when they got kind of rebranded, I was like, okay. But, yeah, this movie does a really good job of introducing a whole new universe for the Marvels cinema world, you know. I'm expecting some good things coming off this, you know. They left it, of course, they're experts at this, leaving it open for continuing the storyline. But, you know, that all started when Marvel got their own studio, Marvel Studios, and that's when they went balls to the wall and just went straight forward. They knew what they were doing. The Marvel Studios were making movies for the fans. But it couldn't have been possible without some previous successes before they got their own studio. Let's go back to before Marvel was where it's at right now.
When did you first get into the Marvel movieverse? What was the first movie you saw?
Blade?
Okay.
That was the first one in theater that I saw. I worked at the theater at the time, so yeah, I'm going to watch it. With Blade, that was like their first attempt to kind of get the movie world going again, you know? Because before Blade, you had what? Punisher? Dolph Lundgren? That's about it.
I have like flashes being a kid and my dad recording a VHS copy off of like HBO of Howard the Duck, the original, the one with the puppet and everything. Mm-hmm. And I
see a lot of people. Well, to me as a kid, when I watched it as a kid, well, of course I liked it because I was a kid. You know, mm-hmm. It was Howard the Duck, you know. But I didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't know, that was based off an old comic, a Marvel comic. I don't know what the majority mainstream people know about Howard the Duck. I would imagine it's in the movie.
It's from the old movie. If they're old enough.
Yeah. They had a few Captain America movies that did not go over well at all. They're pretty bad, actually. You can YouTube some of those. You'll see what I'm talking about. You know, you have Captain America, he has Punishers, but about 98, that's when they released Blade. And that was the first time people went, whoa, okay, we actually have a legit movie based on a Marvel, or based on a comic book, really. Mm-hmm. And from there, that kind of revitalized Marvel just in general, because at the time, I don't know if a lot of people know this, they were about to go out of business.
Yeah.
They were filed for bankruptcy. Doing Blade just kind of helped them out just a little bit. From there, they realized, hey, comic book movies might be successful. What's a big franchise we have? We have X-Men. Let's make a movie on X-Men. And they did.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
You know, of course, so good. You know, the franchise, X-Men, is still going on to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, depending on who you ask.
Yeah.
Because they're with Fox. And at the time, before Marvel had their own studio, it was okay. You know, Fox, they're doing okay with the movies. I still think, out of the original trilogy of X-Men, Part 2 was probably my favorite.
Goes delves deeper in the story of Wolverine's origin?
That, it had Nightcrawler. I mean, it was, to me, this is more of a solid story. Part 3 was an atrocity. I don't really want to talk about that one. And then, of course, it came back on track with First Class. Well, they did the Wolverine Origins movie.
Which one was worse, 3 or Origins Wolverine?
3.
Really?
I don't even have to question that. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
They're both bad. But Wolverine Origins didn't go around killing everybody.
Yeah.
Making hell for people to try to reinvest back into their franchise, which I got to give credit where credit's due for the current filmmakers that are working on it. I know they recently, you know, brought back Bryan Singer. He actually helped produce First Class.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to direct it, but I think there was a scheduling conflict, and he got the other director to direct that one. And then when Days of Future Past came out, you know, Bryan Singer, he took full reins of that one again. And I've heard some people say negative things about that one, but
he righted a lot of wrongs.
He did. He did. I stick by my original thing. He did the best he could with what he was handed.
Yeah.
And I got to praise him on that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the X-Men franchise is at. You know, Spider-Man was the next big successful.
I think Spider-Man took it to the next level. I think X-Men was a good, like, ensemble story.
Yeah.
But I think it was easy the way Sam Raimi made his Spider-Man in the first movie. Made it so easy for you to root for him.
Yes, yeah. The first two movies, for sure.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what it was with X-Men and Spider-Man, but when the third movie came out, it's like they just they either ran out of ideas, or it could be a situation where the studios were just, You got certain people, producers, and different people putting their hands in the cookie jar and saying, "We want you to do this. We want you to do this. We want you to do this. We want you to put this guy in the movie. We want you to do this for these two guys." And you know, it's kind of ruined the vision, I think, that some of the filmmakers had for those movies.
Yeah,
you know. So, and then of course the reboot with
Amazing Spider-Man,
which I'm going to be honest, I have not seen part 2 yet.
The first one's pretty good. The second one, for me, it left a little bit to be desired. There's really? Moments where a lot of the hardcore fans or a lot of the fans that read the book really can appreciate it. But I think I'm not a huge fan of movies that aren't complete movies.
Mm-hmm.
The second Matrix, like, it just ends.
Yeah, that was...
And you have to, like, wait and watch the third one. You just can't take that second movie as itself and watch it. Like, as much as I hate a lot of Transformers movies, you can watch number 2 or number 3. Like, just watch it by itself. Mm-hmm. It's its own movie.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, Amazing Spider-Man 2, it just felt like, okay, where's 2.5? Because that we need more of this to, like, at least finish this off. And it just felt uneven for me.
And unfortunately, that's a trend in Hollywood, I think, right now. Because you have a lot of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. You know, and I think the Twilight thing did that for Breaking Dawn, you know, Part 1, Part 2.
And Mockingjay with the Hunger Games.
Mockingjay, yeah. That's good if you're trying to
make money.
Well, obviously, but like if you're adapting a novel and you don't and you want to do it justice, I would imagine that that's if you want to put the most detail into it. Yeah, you can break it up into two movies. Mm. I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I don't. You shouldn't have to watch two different movies for one story.
The thing is, with novels, there's a beginning point and an end point. So when you're doing breaking them up into different stories, it makes sense. But we've grown up with these comic books almost all our lives. We know there's more villains. We know there's more. So this Spider-Man, Spider-Man, for example, it's never really going to end. If Sam Raimi could have had his bearings and done it his way, we could have had Spider-Man 6 by now. Mm-hmm. If he would have done it his way and done it right every single time, the story never has to end. Spider-Man versus whoever. Or yeah. Spider-Man crosses paths or Spider-Man team-up movie with whoever. But for them to just break them up like that, it just... For me, it kind of affects continuity a little.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, it's just one of those things where there's different agendas for the studios and for the producers and whatever's going to make them the most money.
Yeah.
Right?
I got into Marvel a little late. There was a time when movie soundtracks were a big deal. The Punisher soundtrack had some great stuff on there from Amy Lee, from Seether, from Edgewater. The first Spider-Man had the first appearance of Theory of a Dead Man, Invisible Man. It already had Hate to Say I Told You So from the Hives, which at that time that was a band that was really starting to come up, and they had a knack, like Guardians of the Galaxy, they had a knack of playing the songs through the movie, so it felt like an opus, kind of like a soundtrack to the whole thing. You could hear all these good songs during the movie, and then guess what, you can go buy the CD. Right. That's fading out. Like, there's not a lot of that anymore. That's where I got into movies. So I got into Punisher. I actually liked the first Punisher a lot. It told a really good story. It was a good foundation for me to get into Marvel movies.
All right, let's talk about these other movies real quick here, because we mentioned X-Men, Spider-Man. Of course, those are the obvious ones that kind of jump started the comic book craze. You
and
know,
that are
for
still
movies
around.
That are still around. There's been some other movies that Marvel's done over the years. There was Daredevil.
Hit or miss. Did you like it?
I like Ben Affleck, but the overall movie, it fell flat for me. There was maybe one or two instances in the movie where he did things where you'd be like, that's Daredevil.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, I couldn't really get into it.
I thought it was okay, but that's coming from me because I didn't read Daredevil.
Okay.
So I didn't have that fans pressure in the back of my head saying, okay, it needs to live up to this, this, and this standard.
Okay, so...
As a movie alone, it was good.
Okay.
But if I were to read some of the comics... Especially the new issues that are out now, comparing that, I would see where a lot of people were complaining.
They even made a spinoff, Elektra.
I never saw it.
Ooh, that's hard to get through. That is a hard movie to get through.
Punisher.
We just
like
mentioned.
Punisher?
The
first one.
Okay. There was two Punisher movies. There was Punisher and Punisher Warzone. Punisher with Thomas Jane. I liked the adaptation that they did up until the end of the movie, the whole climax of the movie. That just took me out of it. I didn't like the ending of the movie. That's not his style. Mm-hmm. Doing all these different tricks and mind games and things like that. No, he's gonna shoot your ass. That's all he's gonna do.
Yeah.
You know. So that took me out of the whole movie. The second movie, Warzone, went straight to video. It was as far as a movie goes, that's a better Punisher movie. I like Thomas Jane better as Punisher.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have that. There was another franchise they tried to do, Ghost Rider. I wanted to like that. I really did. And then I saw it, and I was like, I can't.
It's campy.
It's very campy. Yeah. The second one's even more campier. Have you seen the second one?
Yeah, Spirit of Vengeance. I can appreciate the first one just because, again, I don't have that fan's judgment in the back of my head. But there, I could tell where it was campy. I think the second one tried to push the envelope a little bit more to cater to some of the more hardcore readers with the villains and the story. Mm-hmm. A lot of Ghost Rider's attacks and movements in that looked a whole lot better than the first time around.
Yeah.
But it was okay. But
They're okay if you're just flipping the channels and you see it. Oh, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'll finish watching it. But, like, overall, you know, franchises go. I think those can be considered misses.
What about Hulk?
I was about to say that, you son of a bitch. I like The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
With Ed Norton. But the first one with Eric Bana, something about it, it was too long. it was too, I don't know, melodramatic maybe, or
a little, yeah, a little too much.
Yeah,
I liked Vanna's acting in it. I don't know if I liked the Hulk's design in the first one as opposed to the way the CGI was done in the second one.
So much better in the second one.
I think the thing I appreciate the most out of the Incredible Hulk, I think the one thing Marvel should have done in some of their other movies, I love the cinematography of it. You got the comic book vibe where you had all the frames coming, moving around.
That was in the first one.
Yeah, the first Hulk, where you got all the you got all the frames moving around on the screen.
It felt like a comic book movie,
reading through a comic book.
And that part I did like.
I like the cinematography and the approach to that, and they bled that a lot through the movie. That I think movies that don't need to take themselves as serious, like the Dark Knight trilogy, if you're gonna go campy, go a little more. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing it if you're admitting it off the top. You know,
there's two golden examples of what you just said. They're not Marvel movies. I'm going to say Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
And Kick-Ass.
Exactly.
Those two movies, as far as comic book...
The vibe.
Yeah. And when I say comic book, it's all caps. comic book movie. Those two are definitely comic book movies.
The frames, the stills, almost like they even have bubbles with the words. Like you can actually get the vibe that you're looking at a page, except it's a video. the cinematography of Hulk I could appreciate, like the other two you mentioned.
And they did, Marvel's done, Fantastic Four, which, they done Fantastic Four.
Are you looking forward to the new one?
From what I've heard, not really.
No?
No, this, I got a feeling it's going to be more of an Amazing Spider-Man type vibe, redoing everything, changing up different character types and things like that. I have to watch it first before.
I think you're in the boat that you want something fresh.
I just want something good.
Yeah.
I just want something good, interesting. It's a good story. They're not trying to change the whole
landscape.
Yeah, of the franchise, they're doing the character. Keep the characters true. And you'll do good. Another, along with Scott Pilgrim and Kick-Ass, Sin City.
Yeah,
that's comic book 101. Right there. 300.
Yeah.
I
love 300. Man, the action sequences in 300 were badass.
And for 300, I just watched the sequel not too long ago. Rise of the Empire. That was alright. Parts of it was kind of hard to get through. But I do like the fact on that one that on itself, this movie, Rise of the Empire, it's a prequel to 300. It's happening at the same time as 300. And it's a sequel to 300.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Because the main battles are... This involves characters that weren't in the battle in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fighting the same time as the big battles in the first movie.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like happening at the same time. So if you check out 300 Rise of the Empire, watch 300 first if you haven't already. Who hasn't, right? And then watch this one. You'll appreciate it more if you watch the first one first. So. But, something happened with Marvel. Getting back on track here. Something happened with Marvel a few years ago. They got their own studio.
Yeah.
And once they did that, brother, they took off.
I can tell they had a blueprint of what they wanted to do and the scheduling, and they didn't hesitate from it, and they veered straight toward it, and the end result. We haven't gotten the end result
yet.
Because it keeps going. We got Iron Man. We got... Captain America.
Incredible Hulk.
We got the Incredible Hulk.
Thor.
And then we got the first Avengers movie.
Right. Which, let's back up a second, because Avengers would have been an okay movie by itself.
Yeah.
But man, you take in the previous four movies of hype for these characters to one movie. That's how you set up a movie.
I don't think it's hype. I think they did a pretty good job investing in every single character for a different reason, to where you've already got you already know them. It's not like a first date. You're familiar with these guys. So when you have all of them in a double date or a triple date with everybody together, you can just imagine how much fun you're going
to
have.
It's not only that. Go back to when you first watched Iron Man in the theater and you sat around for the hell of it for the end credits. What'd you see?
Nick Fury
talking about the Avengers initiative.
Oh,
what
God.
The fuck? Yes, please take my money. And from there, you have Robert Downey Jr. and Samuel Jackson and Clark Gregg,
yeah,
all mingling in different movies, building up to different hints, teases that something big is happening.
Yeah,
that is. I'm going to go on record and say I believe that is the first time ever in movie history that, that something that big happened. And it's all for the fans, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it all it did is make everything bigger, you know, for comic book fans, for just general...
I think that first movie, Iron Man, planted the seed that, you know what, everything Marvel comes out, we need to pay attention because exactly. If not, we're going to miss something on the next movie.
Exactly.
A little quick flashback for you since you have the history of Blade. I think I remember at that time Wesley Snipes was kind of in the same boat as Robert Downey Jr. as in the sense that his career was kind of on a downward slump.
And you maybe say
and maybe Blade brought him back up and brought Marvel back up from almost bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And then you have Iron Man where you have Robert Downey Jr. with his personal problems and him being in a personal slump,
mm-hmm.
and Marvel like ready on the cusp of this next level, and then all the success of Iron Man taking that.
Yeah,
like, it kind of feels like doesn't it feel a little bit like deja vu to you having that being around for both of them?
A little bit. I can see where you're. I can see what your point is on that. I think Wesley Snipes he was at the time he was okay. I don't think he had a slump, but that definitely pushed him up on a higher pedestal.
Yeah.
Than what he was because he was doing movies here and there. For me, that's what I think of when I think Wesley Snipes now.
Yeah.
You know, it was his first... I think that was his... To your point, that was his first franchise. Of course, his ego had to get to the better of him. He became a prima donna about it, but...
Yeah.
Asking more money and things like that, but... what are you going to do, you know?
So, yeah. We got everything built up to the Avengers.
Whenever, like, to your point when you said a blueprint, they had a blueprint of what they're doing. When your first set of movies was called Phase 1...
Yeah.
You know some shit's going down. We've finished up Phase 2...
Well, we're in the middle of Phase 2. We're almost done.
Well, that's true. Yeah, true.
Almost done. Apparently, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron already finished filming.
They finished production. They're now in post-production. Ugh, getting excited again.
All right. So in Phase 1, you have Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America. Rank them from top to bottom.
Oh, shit. I want to say Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, Hulk. If you were to ask my wife that, she'd probably say maybe Thor first because he's got Chris Hemsworth in there. And then Iron Man. She didn't like Captain America. I think a lot of women that asked about that was they didn't like it because it was more of a World War II movie.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. You know, but I dug it. I liked the whole vibe of the movie. They needed that movie for Captain America.
Yeah.
They needed to explain...
That was a different way to build up sympathy for the character that way as opposed to you can't do everyone as a rich badass. Everyone has a detailed story. You have to be true to it so it comes off genuine so you can actually feel genuinely invested in it.
Yeah,
it goes back to my theory of Guardians. Like I didn't really know much of Captain America, and I really didn't like timepieces. Like I'm not a big fan of World War II era stuff either. But they made it work really well to the point where I don't think of Captain America as a World War II movie. I think of it as a superhero one.
Because it's not just a World War II movie. It's a World War II movie in Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, you got to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because something that happens back then is probably going to affect something in the present.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there is a few things here and there. Tony Stark's dad, he was a main player. As Tony Stark is a main player in the present time, his dad was like... big hot shot back in the 40s, you know? Yeah. So that was neat, you know? And now they're doing a series based on Sharon Carter from the 40s.
Yeah.
Which, that's another thing that happened after Avengers was...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You know? And that, I think that's the first time, again, another first for Marvel, for a TV show to tie directly into...
the movie universe.
Exactly. And to tie in, like, to make your scheduling of your episodes, like, build up right when... a movie hits, so that when that movie hits, the next episode right after that, you had to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that, I just applauded that, you know, I thought that was so ingenious of them to do that, you know, it made everything, like you said, it makes everything important, like you gotta watch it. But we'll talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. later, I guess. But now, they're in Phase 2 right now. I'm sorry, Phase 1, did we miss out Iron Man 2? That was in Phase 1?
Oh, yeah, that was in Phase 1. That was in Phase 1.
Phase 1 also. Yeah. We just kind of categorized that as Iron Man, just in general, yeah. You know. But Phase 2 had Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had
Thor, the Dark World.
Mm-hmm. Then we had Captain America, Winter Soldier.
And Guardians.
Whew, man. And it's just... you can just tell they're going places, you know. They have a plan for everything, and with them doing Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just, you know, just opens it up more than just Earth.
Yeah, I think Avengers kind of like dabbled in it the way the movie ended.
Yeah,
to where they built up their brand pretty much with this Phase 1,
mm-hmm.
that they can try to take a couple of risks on Phase 2.
Everything that happens all got its start in Phase 1.
Yeah.
Anything that happens, go back to Phase 1 movies. You'll find the beginnings over there, you know. And then we're going to have Phase 3. You know, what's after Phase 3? You know, there's... I like it. I dig the fact that they have a plan. And that's all you need sometimes. You need an idea. You got to be true to your characters. And give something back to the fans that have been loyal to you for all these years, you know.
Yeah.
One last thing about Marvel. Do you have any... favorites from, or what's your order of? Because you asked me about my order.
I think Phase 1, I would put Iron Man first. It's hard, I would put Iron Man first. I would probably put Hulk second, because I like the comparing it to the first one. They did so better on the so much better on the second one, and then it's a toss up. Thor barely pulls it out because I wasn't a fan of the World War II stuff to begin with. The story eventually won me over. But Thor had my interest from the very beginning. So, and then Iron Man 2, I mean...
Whatever gets my wife interested in comic book movies, a thumbs up for me.
Yeah. As far as Phase 2 goes, I would have to say Thor the Dark World is my top one in the Phase 2 so far. Yeah.
Wait, wait a minute. Hold on. Part of Phase 2 is Guardians.
I know.
Okay.
The reason Guardians is my second, and the only reason for that is because I already had the vested interest from Thor and from Avengers for me to already want to watch this movie. Guardians of the Galaxy, honestly, the most I knew about Guardians of the Galaxy was Rocket Raccoon and Nova from Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. An episode of Earth's Mightiest Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, where they ran into the Guardians,
mm-hmm.
and the episode of Ultimate Spider-Man where Spider-Man finds Rocket in the trash can. That's all the knowledge of the Guardians of the Galaxy I had. So I could be the majority here as far as fans that went to see to watch the Guardians movie out of benefit of the doubt, because lately, what is the Marvel Studio screwed up on?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so I was willing to give that a shot. And it won me over, like hand over fist. But since I already had so much vested interest in Thor when it came out, that's my top one. Guardians second. Captain America is my third. Because
such a good movie.
Because again, you can't do the badass hero on every single style. I don't think the political thriller would have worked with Thor or with Guardians or with Iron Man, but for Captain America, they had the right story and the right storyline to go off of, and the right characters. Like, it wasn't overdone. Like, it made sense why Winter Soldier was there. It made a lot of sense why Winter Soldier was there for anyone that watched the first movie. You can understand why Falcon's there, and then ScarJo just bleeding off of the Avengers. Obviously, I'm not going to complain about Scarlett Johansson in black tights. It makes sense. You know, so Captain America is my third. And the only fallacy I have of Iron Man 3 is that I felt like after watching The Dark Knight Rises, that's pretty much what we got in Marvel form. The hero down and out, defeated, has to find his way back up. And I think the timing of them doing that after The Dark Knight Rises movie came out, it just felt like I kind of knew what was going to happen before it even happened. And that kind of threw me off a bit. So that's why I've got Iron Man 3 on the lower level.
Okay. That sounds good. Now, I mean, it's all subjective.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you, what's Phase 2? What you got for Phase 2?
All right. Guardians is the first one for me. Thor 2. No, wait. Hold on. Man.
Guardians is fresh in your head. That's why I think you've got...
No, I think that is... I said it at the beginning of this. It's a sci-fi epic. It can stand on its own. It has its own legs for its own franchise, ready to go. It's got the characters. It's got the cast of characters. It's outer space. I mean,
I think for me, if it weren't for Thanos being on the movie and admitting that the gem that they're going after is part of all the other gems, it literally is such a good standalone movie that it's hard for me to put it in the group with the rest of with the Marvel movies. I think that's the only drawback, well, if it, any. Not really a drawback.
It was kind of a... It could, you know, you could even say that could have been a gamble for Marvel to do that, because they're not well-known characters. It's not on Earth. It's a whole different universe out there. Yeah. You know,
we get 5 minutes of Earth in the entire movie. That's
But, I mean, they did such a good job on the writing, the soundtrack, the action scenes. I mean... Just the style of it. Just look at it. It's a beautiful film. I mean, just like just the colors and the visuals. It's they're going places on that franchise. I got a feeling. Oh, so yeah, I'm still gonna say Guardians was my first one. You know what? I'm gonna say Captain America: Winter Soldier, and then I'm gonna go with Thor 2, and then Iron Man 3. I wasn't a big fan of Iron Man 3. A lot of people liked it, but something about it, I just couldn't get
it
into.
Made it a lot of money because it was, I think it was the first movie after the Avengers.
Right, exactly.
So people wanted to see what was next.
Definitely. I really dig the kind of the 70s spy thriller of Captain America because it's different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different take on a comic book movie. Thor 2, I think that's more of a... It didn't get a lot of praise as much as it should have, you know, I think. I really dug the visuals of that one as well, where it was... You had like the sci-fi with all the ships and the technology, but you all have like the fantasy with the dark elves. I just love the design on the dark elves, and I think visually they came together pretty well. It was an interesting contrast between the two genres, I guess.
Yeah.
So that I really dug, you know. But Guardians, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man.
As far as Phase 2. Now we've got to go forward after Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Whew.
Apparently we have a Phase 3.
Yeah. You know, I don't envy Joss Whedon at all trying to top what he did in the first one. But I got faith in the man, that's for damn sure. So we'll wait and see on that one.
Enlighten the listeners what's coming up on Phase 3.
So Phase 3, we're going to have Ant-Man, which, God, if that can get past all the...
red tape.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Leaving. Man, Edgar Wright getting off of that movie, that's a kick in the balls right there. I'm sorry. But that's coming out after Avengers 2. Then after Ant-Man, we got Captain America 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Doctor Strange, which that could be so good, or it could be so bad. I don't know. And then we have Guardians of the Galaxy 2. That's for July of 2017. But James Gunn, the guy that wrote and directed the first one, he's coming back for the second one. Yeah, so that's going to be good. But there's also something else going in as far as phases and planning. Was recently announced the Netflix series.
Yeah.
And apparently that's going to be like a TV version of the whole bridging it together for one big series.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these are going to be Netflix exclusives. We're going to have a TV series for Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
Iron Fist.
Ooh, nice.
Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, Alias. She's had her own series. But that they're all going to come together for the Defenders.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. We're going to see what happens with that.
Oh, and let's not forget, we've talked about X-Men earlier. They're working on X-Men Apocalypse next in their timeline.
Yeah, and they set that up with the ending after the credits. I kind of squealed a little bit whenever I saw the horseman. And then, of course, yeah, little skinny boy Apocalypse. I'm giving Bryan Singer the benefit of the doubt. He knows what to do with that franchise.
Yeah. When it was in his hands, it was in great hands.
Screw the haters on the X-Men. For comic books, you know, X-Men has been my franchise. That's what got me into comics. So it's near and dear to my heart. So waiting kind of giddy with this one. You know, I'm waiting to see how they're going to do that.
So. I think the movie that's got me the most curious, they're releasing... following up on the Spider-Man timeline, we got Spider-Man 2 that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
They're releasing Sinister 6
mm-hmm.
first.
Right.
And then they're doing Amazing Spider-Man 3.
And there were some issues with that too, I believe. I thought I heard there were some production issues with that, or someone dropped out or something.
It's been a while because it's fallen off the radar from all the recent stuff that's been coming up right now.
Yeah. So, again, just kind of wait and see what will be happening with Marvel.
One last bit.
Okay.
That you haven't mentioned yet.
Oh,
that
no.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned. It's been a hot topic that almost blew up the internet.
Oh, okay. Well, what is it, sir?
2 minutes of leaked footage of Ryan Reynolds as everyone's favorite mercenary with a mouth.
Oh.
Piscina de Muerte. Deadpool.
Oh, God. I was never so happy and so mad and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Man, I want that movie to come out. And man, that's not going to happen.
I compare it to having a massive erection and just hitting it on the door. Slamming your door on it at the same time. That's what that felt like.
I concur.
So. Oh my God. If this movie gets made, it will probably be one of the biggest miracles in comic book movie history. Ever since X-Men Origins Wolverine, the appetizer of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool that we got was probably the most entertaining, if not the only entertaining part of that movie.
Right.
That we should have gotten more of.
Before they screw that up, too.
But. Yeah. And even since then, he's been advocating, whatever word you want to call it, he's been wanting to do this role, and he's been promised to do this role for so long. What's this? 2008?
The wonder that movie came out.
Six? Yeah. And there's a studio that had been working on it, and they had taped some footage. And the 2 minutes that somehow ended up on the internet that was like all choppy, the quality wasn't all that. The reaction was so huge that the director of that footage himself uploaded HD version quality of it.
Yeah.
Everyone went apeshit bananas.
Where did they
it.
Find this footage at, anyways?
I have no idea where it came from. I don't give a damn where it came from.
I wonder if it was screened at San Diego Comic Con. Maybe. I don't know. But still, man, I don't care what they got to do to get this damn movie. Maybe with hopes of all hopes, the hype and the feedback that they've been getting from this footage will kind of maybe have them green light something. Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Hopefully very soon. But man,
we talked about earlier comic book movies, all caps. You know, Sin City, Scott Pilgrim, Deadpool would be the comic book movie.
And here's the best part. I think the issue with the movie being itself is the people that were trying to make this. The studios didn't want an R-rated hero movie.
That's the problem.
And Deadpool is an R-rated guy. And
he's a mercenary.
Yeah. And whatever doubts anyone had, those 2 minutes put it to shame, because that's exactly how it's supposed to be done. Exactly. Those 2 minutes were better than a lot of comic book movies or comic book scenes or comic book characters at their best.
Yes.
That's just Deadpool being Deadpool. Like, imagine this guy in like a final act fighting scene with a villain just as equally an asshole as this guy.
Oh, I'm done.
I kind of had flashbacks of the Deadpool video game that came out a few years ago. That was a game where I'm surprised at playing it half, like an hour in. I'm surprised the shit got made, because it's a it's level rated M for mature. Deadpool at its grossest, at its craziest, and at heart, that's the best part of it. That's the character in a nutshell, and him fighting Sinister. The whole storyline, breaking the fourth wall, everything was done so well that if that was done in a movie form, especially Deadpool breaking the fourth wall 15 seconds in the clip, that's the way it needs to be done. And it's obvious it can't. As long as it's done that way, it can't fail. I mean, did you see how many times it was posted on your timeline or on Twitter, or how comic book sites everywhere ran off with this?
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about this.
Was that Ryan Reynolds doing the voice?
Yeah.
It was.
That
it
was Ryan Reynolds.
Okay. All right. I wasn't really paying attention to the voice.
It was hard to hear the voice on the original clip that was released.
Mm-hmm.
When the HD version was released, you could hear more clearly Ryan Reynolds talking. You could see more clearly the drawing of Deadpool cutting off the guy's head before he cut the guy's head off.
Oh, okay.
And you couldn't see that in the original draft that was on video shaky cam, that was phone cam that was released.
Yeah.
The detail
was... Someone got fired for releasing, probably. I don't care. But he's a hero.
He's a hero to us. Of course, that's not going to get his bills paid or his mouth fed, but hell.
Not my problem.
He'll die with honor.
He was a good man, whoever he was. The poor son of a bitch.
Anything else besides movies that Marvel's done right, ever?
You know, one thing that they have done, they've done a few successes in cartoon form. TV shows. We mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. earlier. But what was the one thing way back when that got people on at least the X-Men, you know, boat was the X-Men cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
1992 when it came out. Whew. You know, I had just started. I heard about the X-Men cartoon coming out, and I asked my friend who's a big comic book fan at the time. I said, "Man, what's you know, is this X-Men? You know, is this?" He gave me some older comics to just kind of read over. I was like, "Oh, I was like hooked right there," you know. And then if I go back, my first comic that I bought to continue buying monthly was a month before the cartoon debuted.
Really?
Wow. So I've been an X-Men fan ever since that cartoon came out. And I guess you could say it's attributed to that. But the comics themselves helped fuel that as well. Like I said, you know, if I didn't get those older comics to kind of look over everything and really get me hooked, I wanted to get into it before the cartoon came out. And when it did, man. You know, I mean, that was the first, I think, successful, long-running cartoon that at the time, I mean, it had a storyline. It had part one, part twos. It had a climax at the end of the whole season.
Yeah.
You know, I think for its time, I mean, that was very, very forethoughtful of itself to do that, you know.
It's for a kid's cartoon. Kid's cartoon. Exactly. Because I grew up on Bugs Bunny, Mighty Mouse, where it was just an episode. Like, it didn't build to anything. Exactly, it was just random episodes that were done.
Or even earlier, you got Transformers, G.I. Joe. Those were just those were just 30-minute commercials, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, for they don't really hold up over time. Well, some of the G.I. Joes.
Some of the G.I. Joes or some of the Transformers.
I'll give them a bit of the doubt. But the Transformers were just strictly, just here you go, here's some toys for you.
Yeah.
But the X-Men cartoon, I think that was the first launching point. And again, as a precursor to the movie franchises, the X-Men cartoon led way to the Spider-Man cartoon. And it's very subjective which one was more successful or which one you liked more. Did you like the X-Men cartoon more or did you like the Spider-Man cartoon more? I liked them both, but again, going back to me, I was more of an X-Men guy. So to me, I dug the X-Men cartoon up until the last couple seasons where they just stopped caring. the Spider-Man one, the thing I liked about that was the... again, building up to the whole climax, it was, if you remember the episodes, like the seasons, it was like part one, part two, part three, part four. You know, it was, that felt like a comic book. You know, it was a continuous story.
Like chapter one.
So did you, what was your preference on those? Because you were a kid, same as me, I mean, when those were coming out, so.
I think I was in the same boat that I equally liked them both a lot. I just think that there were more individual characters in the X-Men franchise for you to like as opposed to Spider-Man. Like, obviously Spider-Man's cool, but they didn't really, those cartoons made it kind of... hard to invest in more than just one person because it was mostly Spidey and some of the same villains.
Right.
But at the same time, X-Men didn't... X-Men has such a vast cast of characters in their storyverse that they can pull from them.
And let's take a look at this as well. For X-Men, not just, you know, a continuing story, but look at the themes in this. I mean, we have a love triangle. Scott, Jean, and Logan.
Yeah.
A love triangle in a kid's cartoon. Excuse me?
Yeah.
And then you had the other on-off relationship with Gambit, Rogue, that whole storyline, the struggles they had with that.
Yeah.
And then some of the complexities of the villains, too. Of course, the dichotomy of, you know, Professor X and Magneto.
Man, I think one of the things I remember, one of the storylines I remember the most was the ongoing struggle of Logan losing Morph in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And him struggling.
Well, first, Morph dying, character dying in a cartoon, you know? So both of those, definitely.
Yeah. I don't think there wasn't as much of that in the Spider-Man series for me to care as much as the X-Men stuff.
Spider-Man
was pretty much more happy-go-lucky, laid back.
Happy-go-lucky,
your aunt and your uncle and all this other stuff. With him being in school with Felicia and all that. But I think there was more individualism in the X-Men people for you to root around.
Yeah.
As opposed to just Spider-Man. But Spider-Man brought... I think the thing that got my attention to Spider-Man was they kind of merged like this 3D kind of animation with the 2D that it just, I don't know, it, like looking at it now, like some of the old episodes, I don't know how they managed to make it work, but it works. And
because it was new at the time.
Yeah.
This is what it was. You know, they wanted something different to show when he was like swinging from the different rooftops and things like that. And it worked for that show. I think if X-Men tried that, it wouldn't have worked as well.
No.
I think we can chalk those up as both being successes. And then there was kind of a break for a while after they realized, okay, show's over, we got to wrap this thing up, you know. There was a little break, and then we had a small little iteration of an X-Men cartoon, Evolution.
Evolution.
Yeah. And at first, when you think about it, X-Men, they're in high school. But it worked, I think. I think it took the first season is passable, but once you get into like the later seasons, I think there's only three seasons.
Yeah.
But by the time the third season kicked in, they knew what they were doing. They hit their stride. They had a full seat and they had a full story arc going in there. They brought in Apocalypse and all this other stuff. And I mean, it got pretty intense in that last season. Netflix has it on their Netflix has it. but they only had the first season.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I want to watch it, but I was like, I'm going to get past the first season.
I was a fan of Wolverine and the X-Men.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go there. Man, that was such a good series. And ended on a cliffhanger. And they canceled it.
Yeah. The dichotomy of Wolverine, the rebel, the one-man army, the I walk alone, having to lead a group of guys. Just that alone is compelling enough for you to give it a shot.
Yeah.
God, was it good. I was surprised they canceled
that. The storytelling that they took, some of the examples I talked about, the type of storylines they were telling in the original X-Men cartoon, Wolverine the X-Men, that was
it up. Yeah.
That Cyclops, and if it was an adult cartoon, he would be an alcoholic, I would think. I think that's the vision they were trying to go for. Yeah. You know, like he was this recluse. He was away. I think he was growing a beard and everything. He didn't give a shit, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wolverine had to come to him, say, hey, you know, because at the beginning, spoiler alert, there's a big explosion. Everybody thinks that, you know, Jean dies and Professor X dies and all this other stuff. And that just sends Cyclops over the edge,
yeah.
You know. And Wolverine is the last one left to kind of rein everybody in and kind of take control, because he's kind of used to all this bad stuff happening, but
yeah.
Now all this other bad stuff is happening to everybody else, and now he's got to be like, all right, calm down, everybody. You know?
I've been through worse.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the stuff that they were... The storytelling, I don't know how to explain. The way they were telling the stories was so strong.
Adult-like.
Yeah. It wasn't very... There wasn't a lot of humor in it.
Yeah.
There was some with Kitty and Iceman, but...
I kind of dare say that they could have pulled that off on Adult Swim on Cartoon Network. As far as the tone of the episode of the whole series, as opposed to just, hey, Saturday morning at 8 in the morning with a box of Fruit Loops, sit down and watch it. That's not that kind of cartoon.
No, it was, I think, on prime time.
Yeah.
I think on Nickelodeon? Or Nicktoons. It was Nicktoons.
Nicktoons, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show. And I'm really pissed. I got so mad, matter of fact, there was a...
You wrote a letter.
Even better.
Oh, shit.
Conkpalooza in Houston.
Yeah.
The writer, the creator of the show, he was here in Houston. I asked him to sign a comic that I had. And as he was signing, I was like, so, what's up with the season 2 business?
What did he tell you?
He said, man, he's like, even he was like mad. He's like, I know, I wanted that to be made. I had like a full storyline built around it. And they just didn't want to fund it. They just didn't want to carry it on.
We should start a Kickstarter for that shit.
Everybody else is, you know, screw it, why not, you know? But man, it was one of those things where it seems like all the good cartoons nowadays, if it's not selling toys, if it's not getting good ratings, so they're just going to not continue with it. And that's a shame, I mean, because some of the best storytellers...
Or move it from the best possible platform, like Legend of Korra.
Oh.
It did so good on the television, and now, oh hey, we're going to put it online, sorry.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks since it's been off TV, and okay, we're going to veer off here for a second. If you have not seen The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra, go watch it. They're on season 3, they're short seasons, it's like 12 or 13 episodes a season. This is the third season, they're 7 episodes in. The animation, the storytelling has been, I dare say, flawless. Do you watch it?
I saw... you got me into it, actually. Ugh. I was watching a couple episodes because I was watching the
movie. You came over one day and I was watching it.
Yeah, it was a Friday that you were just bumming around not doing anything. Like, hey, watch this, Chris. Okay.
Yeah. you can't not like just oh wow.
The only flaw was hey, we're putting it on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's not getting good ratings, you know, because it's not a kid's cartoon.
No,
man, it's a shame though. Man, it's such a beautiful drawn series. I cannot explain it even better than that. Just oh. There was another week I was watching it, and I was on the chair, my wife was on the couch, she was doing her homework, whatever, and I was watching, and there was a scene going on, and I kind of turned my head just a little bit, and I saw my wife, she was watching it, she was doing homework.
She was fascinated.
Yeah, she was fascinated, she was just, her head was turning, she was watching TV, and when I can see that, that tells me it's good.
Yeah.
You know, so, man.
The wife's seal of approval.
Legend of Korra is actually a sequel to The Last Airbender, mm-hmm. Avatar The Last Airbender, and I've never seen it, and this is a sequel to that, so I was kind of lost on a couple of inside things that they were talking about, but overall, I mean, I loved Korra so much, I went back.
Wow.
And because it's on syndication,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I was going through the scheduling of all the upcoming episodes, and you know, on syndication, they play them in order. You know, so I found like the first episode, and I hit record from that start date, and I started recording every single one.
Wow!
So yeah, it's good. It's it had nothing to do with Marvel, but damn it, it's good.
All right, back on track.
Okay.
Did you ever get your eyes on either the anime version of Wolverine or Iron Man that they were showing on G4?
Yes, I really dug the X-Men one. It took me a while because it is anime. It is a different style.
Oh, you're right. There were four of them. It was Blade, mm-hmm. X-Men, mm-hmm. Wolverine, mm-hmm. and Iron Man.
Yeah. I watched maybe an episode of Iron Man. I could not get into it. Even Wolverine, I couldn't really get in that one either. But something with the different animated takes on X-Men, because we've seen like Wolverine, the X-Men. We've seen the original X-Men. This is a different animated style, different characters that were animated for the first time.
Different storyline, because all four of them were in Japan,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It took place all in Japan. And different villains that I knew from the comics. They were very obscure characters, so I knew it wasn't going to fly like mainstream or anything. But it was different, you know? It was, like I said, that was the only one I could really get into. The Blade, I never really gave it a chance because I just missed it whenever it would come on.
Yeah.
But
I was never a big vampire guy, so even that, I think that would be the one movie that I might not be budge on. Like if Marvel right now in Phase 4 did a vampire, like redid Blade,
right.
I might not go watch it just because that's just not my style.
Yeah.
The X-Men one was pretty good. The Iron Man, they started with Wolverine and Iron Man first, so I watched both of them. The Iron Man one was kind of hard to keep up with at times. But the Wolverine one told a story from the first episode to the last. Mm-hmm. And you can see a lot of that in the Wolverine movie that came out recently with,
right.
Hugh Jackman. Because that's pretty much the whole tone of it in Japan. Wolverine finding himself with
And that was one movie we didn't really talk about, was that new Wolverine movie that some of my friends have kind of bashed on it. I dig it. It's not the best movie, but it's better than the Origins, you know? And
I think that kind of did what First Class did, was kind of like find a way to right some of the wrongs that were done in the storyline before from X-Men.
I'll give you that.
I think Wolverine, the Wolverine movie from Japan, did a lot better job of tying stuff up to where you can kind of overlook Origins.
Let me ask you something real quick, and we'll finish this up here in just a second. But for Wolverine, you know, there was a little deleted scene at the end of that where he got a briefcase.
Oh, it's the costume.
And he opened it up, and it's the costume. And I thought that was cool as a little nod to the fans, you know?
Yeah.
I was talking with my friend about it, and he was saying, you can't put Wolverine in a costume. It's not going to look right. And I'm thinking, yeah, you may have a point then. But then I'm thinking, Captain America, Batman. You know, you have other movies that have masks and costumes and that are pulled right from the comics. What do you think? Do you think that Wolverine in a costume would work, or do you think it cannot be in a costume at all?
I think it all deals with the storyline perspective of it. I think they built up Captain America to where he finds himself in the costume.
He needs the suit. He needs the costume.
And he feels more of himself with
it
on.
Yeah.
Thor already comes with the costume already. Wolverine, like the first iteration of him that we get in the first X-Men movie is him, jeans, tank top, the puffy hair, shaped like the mask,
right,
kind
yeah.
of, like the hairdo, like, fit. And then we had that nod where he had the jacket on, the black with the yellow, and then it's like, oh, hey, we expect us to wear tight spandex or whatever. Like,
that was
if he would have found his original comic costume in the first movie and continued the story that way, it would have made more sense as opposed to, all right, I'm already used to seeing the movie-verse version of Wolverine. Jeans, muscle beater, hair, claws, badassery. It's too late now to put the costume on him.
But what if in the movie, the suit, it was something passed down to him or something made sense to his heritage or to the Japanese culture or whatever? Do you think that would make, like, if there's a reason in the story, would it be okay?
I think if there was one time where they could have brought it in and made it okay, was because the deleted scene was on the Blu-ray.
Right.
If they would have had that deleted scene in the movie theater where more people would have seen it. And then the next movie after Wolverine was Days of Future Past, because that's the bonus trailer that they built off of.
Right.
If they would have had Wolverine either in the past or in the future, well, obviously in the future, because that's where the storyline was. If they had him, like, not too distant future with the costume on, it would have made sense. But they went too far in the future that everyone was wearing black being stealthy and trying to hide from everyone, that it wouldn't have fit.
Yeah.
Even if they went, like, black and gray with one of the X-Force costumes, it still wouldn't have fit. So it was a nice little treat for the people that understood it,
okay.
But it wouldn't have made sense going forward.
Yeah, fair enough. Just the fanboy in me just kind of wanted to see the costume. That's all.
Yeah.
we mentioned the Spider-Man cartoon from the 90s. And, you know, like I said, X-Men took a little break, did the Evolution, then the Wolverine and the X-Men.
Brain fart. That would be a perfect fourth wall scene in Deadpool. It's like, what? You want me to be in a costume like Wolverine and have Deadpool have a thought bubble and have Hugh Jackman in the costume going...
Yeah.
Do I look right?
Yeah.
Like something stupid. Like you could find a way to at least add that somewhere. Just random thought.
You know what? You could probably see that in the movie too.
Yeah.
If they didn't already film it, not telling us. Bastards. All right. So, Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man cartoon, that took a break. They tried something with Unlimited, Spider-Man Unlimited. Yeah. And I couldn't get it.
It went too far too fast, I think. Oh, it didn't really set a good foundation for you to actually find a start point. Like, it kind of felt like they were going off of the original Spider-Man cartoon storyline way too far, with that gap in the middle to where, how did we end up here? For him to all of a sudden just be
in this whole different universe. Yeah, it was stupid.
Weird.
And then from there we had the MTV animated series, which was supposed to kind of bring it back full circle, sort of, and that was Neil Patrick Harris doing the voice of Peter Parker. And I never really got into that one for some reason. I don't know. It came on plenty of times. That was back when MTV actually did stuff. And then we kind of took a long break from Spider-Man. And then we had Spectacular Spider-Man. And that was the one that looked kind of cartoony, or looked a little kiddie. And I wasn't going to really give it a shot, but then I did. And I was actually impressed with that one. That one, the storytelling in that one, again, it's all about the storytelling in these cartoons. You know?
If you get it right, if you get the storytelling right, everything else will just fall into place, regardless of animation style, story style, or which characters you want to use and which ones you don't. If you can make it work and make the story believable, fans will bite.
Yeah. Case in point, the new Ninja Turtle cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cartoony, a little kiddie. They made, as my friend said, they're too cute. But just watch the story, and that doesn't even bother me anymore with the way they look, you know. But so Spectacular Spider-Man was good, and then again, same thing with, like, Wolverine, it got canceled. It was a good story. It's not getting ratings, not selling toys. Get it off the air.
Yeah.
So there's
I might have a few Happy Meal toys of Venom somehow, but that's all I remember.
Yeah. And then there was Ultimate Spider-Man, which is still going on, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The only thing that I don't like about that is they took a good cartoon, Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which was the same studio that did the Wolverine and the X-Men, and then they canceled that because the Avengers movie came out, and they rebooted it with the same animation as Ultimate Spider-Man. So now everything, and even now they have the Hulk Agents of Smash, that has the same animation. So it's like everything looks the same on the Marvel universe side of things. However, I believe with the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy animated series,
that's going to be the old school Earth's Mightiest Heroes animation.
I think it's going to look different.
It looks like it.
Yeah. So, you know, we're kind of looking forward to that. The Ultimate Spider-Man, I dig it for the most part. Some of the inside humor is what makes me laugh, you know. But it's like too much. Sometimes it's too much, and I got to, like, turn it off.
I think that's again, going back to the original Spider-Man movies, where there's not as many characters in the Spider-Man storyverse to mm-hmm. invest into, that they have to start bringing all the other episodes. Well, like, I don't mind the Freaky Friday episode where Spider-Man and Wolverine switch bodies
yeah.
and they're having a fight and one gets thrown in the magazine rack and there's a magazine on the dude's cover and it has Deadpool Time Man of the Year. Like, that stuff I can appreciate, but at right. some point we need Spider-Man episodes, not just another team up with Guardians
right.
or the awesome Deadpool origin story that they did for that universe. Like, you don't want to unalive anybody, you know?
Right.
And their episode where it was Halloween and Blade, like
the Night Stalkers and all them, yeah. Yeah,
like there's good stories there for hardcore fans to like, and the animation, the storytelling is good for kids to get into. But it feels like now it's like it feels like they're getting more success out of bringing in other heroes instead of investing more in the
Spider-Man. Because Spider-Man's already the well-known guy, yeah. so we got to bring in other guys.
At least invest more in the team of Nova and White Tiger and Iron Fist and right. Power Man.
Well, they do sometimes for the most part. They've just amped up Nova on this new Return of the Guardians of the Galaxy, which, hey, this will happen to come out right when the Guardians came out. You know, go yeah. figure. So anyway, there's that. The one last thing that Marvel's done is the original animated movies, like the Ultimate Avengers 1 and 2, which I like the first one, the second one, yeah. whatever. The best one I think that to me they've done is the Hulk versus.
Oh, Hulk versus Wolverine. Thank hands you. Down is my favorite.
Yes, I concur. Yes,
yeah. There's good. There's like feuds between the feuds, like Hulk Wolverine, Wolverine against X-Force. But then you've also got someone in the X-Force with Deadpool trying to be buddy buddy with Wolverine, and mm-hmm. then Hulk trying to go against everybody. Mm-hmm. Hulk beating everybody up.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
Yeah.
And it looks like a lot, but if you pay attention, everything makes sense.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And
yeah.
it's so good.
Yeah. The Hulk versus Thor is okay, but when you right after watching the versus Wolverine,
the Wolverine one sets the bar extraordinarily high.
Yeah, it's like good luck falling that one, bub. You know? And then you know, they did some other ones like the Doctor Strange, the Iron Man, which both of those were just kind of
Rise of the Technivore.
Oh god, I couldn't even finish that one. That was it was interesting hearing Norman Reedus do Punisher, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. It kind of gave me a little bit of that the Iron Man anime
vibe. Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Which I could tolerate if the story was good, but it was kind of hard to follow.
Again, it took an obscure villain.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I just can't get into it, yeah. But it's weird. Like, Marvel's kind of hit or miss with their
animated
stuff, you know? But Planet Hulk was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that on Blu-ray, actually. I think it was on sale for like $5 at Walmart, so I just picked it up. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, we just... With Guardians of the Galaxy just coming out, we just felt, hey, let's just do an episode just on...
Marvel.
Just on Marvel, and because they've been through a lot.
Yeah.
They've... I think the only other thing that they could do to make fans even happier is, you know what, let's just have Disney buy out Fox and Sony.
Yeah.
So we can start getting some crossovers up in here.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, I mean, Marvel Studios can do no wrong. Fox and Sony, that's another story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to coming out?
Oddly enough, they leaked footage, I think it was last year's Comic-Con, of some test footage of how they wanted Ant-Man to look.
Oh, yes.
That yeah. really got my attention.
Okay.
To the point where I think between that and how well Guardians came out, I'm looking forward to see something fresh as opposed to something that's already been established.
Okay.
You know, because if Marvel has a good track record of establishing things, then I want to see what they have next coming down the pike with Ant-Man. I don't know much about Doctor Strange for me to invest in it right now as opposed to just the clip I saw of what Ant-Man's powers can be.
Right.
And then with Paul Rudd as the main guy, he's, even though he's pretty much the same comedic character in all of his movies, he's still pretty funny.
Right, yeah.
So whether he keeps the same character or if he actually does some acting for Pym, it's got my interest.
We know he's not Pym.
Oh no, not Pym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other guy.
Well, again, I don't know much.
Exactly.
Like, I'm still curious.
And that's up to them to get this guy out there so people know who he is.
Yeah.
You know? I've heard some things about the storyline that they're doing with Hank Pym and with the Wasp and all that, and I'm not digging that aspect of it. If they're going to go through with that, hopefully they don't. But we'll wait and see what happens.
How about you?
For me, I'm kind of curious just to see what they're going to do with Avengers. How they can top, you know, Avengers 1, what's been building from Phase 2, you know, and see where it goes there. I'm probably that, and maybe Guardians 2. Because I think, to your point, we kind of know what we're getting with the other characters, yeah. You know?
Yeah, Guardians is still... It feels like we need that they can still give us more that we haven't seen. Right now, we've already gotten 2 Thors, 3 Iron Mans, 2 Captain Americas, and an Avengers, and Hulks. We've gotten enough of them, not in a bad way, but we know enough of them, we still need to want to know more of the Guardians.
Yeah. So, we got a lot to look forward to. You know? But I think that should probably wrap it up for this week's episode.
Yeah.
We'll be back with maybe at some other point about talking about the DC universe, DC movie universe, you know, because yes.
We'll spend the first 45 minutes talking about Batman and Batman Returns, and then we'll get to everything else.
Yeah, so that should be coming out here hopefully soon. Depends on when we can get together again and do that. So, but again, thanks for listening to us tonight, folks. Again, you can catch us on iTunes. Just do a search, Pop Culture Rewind. Hit the subscribe button. Help us out. Go to Twitter, follow us at PopCultureRWND, and then you can go to Facebook/PopCultureRewind, and then you know, just like us on there.
If you have any suggestions for an episode,
oh, absolutely, yeah, let us know.
Like we mentioned before, I'm tempted to get us to watch the MTV Movie Awards that's coming at the end of July, at the end of this month, and talk a bunch of smack.
One thing I wanted to accomplish with Pop Culture Rewind is not just discuss like current pop culture stuff, because there's a lot of podcasts out there that do that. I wanted to do things that was special to me, you know, especially my friends that come on, you and we'll probably have some other people come around here every now and then just to chit chat and see you, and just talk about things that's happened in the past, you know, like our video game special, you know, or talking about growing up with Ninja Turtles.
Our video game special pulled a lot of heartstrings, apparently. Of people's younger years.
Yeah.
And with whatever topic in general, we're that's our mission, to try to do the same thing with stuff that's happened.
Absolutely, know? Yeah. So definitely give us a shot. You know, listen to us. Shoot us a line on Twitter or Facebook or email us at popculturerewind@gmail.com. So,
you're trying to get us confused with that other show.
Yeah.
You jerk.
Screw it, they could use the help too. Go listen to Houston Wrestling Radio. So anyway, thanks again, folks.
You hadn't come up with a sign off yet, have you?
Actually, I did.
You did?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to stick or not.
Uh oh. Well, throw it in the wall, see what happens.
Thanks for listening to us, folks. And don't forget to pop your culture.
Flame on! Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is filled with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle bass. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show while the turtles are saying. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go. Don't slip.
independent, it's strong.